More of Lake Effect Now, I'm Mitch Teich. Before the break, we heard about a juice bar soon to be producing fresh juice on the site of the Amaranth Bakery on Milwaukee's northwest side. But the bakery itself is a juicy story. It opened 7 years ago at 34th and Lisbon and was the dream of David Boucher and his wife, Stephanie. But while Boucher envisioned the bakery itself and creating a neighborhood gathering place, the rest of the story has risen like a good loaf of sourdough. It's turned into a model of sustainability and become an incubator for other startups like the Juice Kitchen we heard about earlier. Boucher met up with WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz in the bakery recently and explained that when he moved to the neighborhood, he found a business location that he just couldn't pass up.
It was one of these properties that could have been knocked down by the bulldozer. It was in really rough shape. It was an old bar. And then we
had been vacant for a long time?
Been vacant for a number of years. Maybe some squatters, but for the most part, by and large, vacant. Stephanie and I had this crazy idea that we could do this sort of thing. And so we acquired the building. The good thing is we didn't need to necessarily know how to do it because it was an affordable purchase. You know, we could sit and learn. We could start doing the sweat equity necessary. We knew we had to, the first thing out of the box was put a new roof on it and secure it and stabilize it. But then we could try to figure out how it is that we go about learning residential code for the upstairs, commercial code for the downstairs, and how to put together a bakery. At the same time, she had started baking, had just, number one, a real affinity to it, had the palate that knows when something's right and when something's not right, and the fascination for the biology behind it. Sourdough is more biology than anything else sometimes. And so we would bake for private parties and events, or I should say she would. People kept saying, gee whiz, you know, you make some wonderful product. And over about a six-year period, we rehabbed this building from 2000 to 2006, opened 2006. We had all along been very involved creating a number of community gardens in the area. We have five contiguous lot community garden on 35th Street that has been fully subscribed since it started in 1998, and it's primarily residents in immediate area. And so they watch the garden when we need to do something, whether it's prune a tree to get more sun or rebuild a fence. You know, people get together and do it. It's always a little challenge because most of the gardeners these days speak very little English, and usually it requires family second-generation translators because most of the families are Hmong. But I've learned more about gardening from them, I would say. In fact, the name of the bakery really came out of the community gardens. We saw these plants growing, and sometimes in the hot, dry days of August, of September, the strongest, most powerful, prolific plants in the garden were these tall, beautiful, red, fronded plants, and it turned out they're amaranth. And we thought, oh my goodness, and this is completely related to the type of first of all, grain that we are attracted to, not necessarily because it's gluten-free. We don't do much gluten-free baking, in fact, but because it's a very ancient grain, it's one that's been underappreciated for most of the post-industrial, or at least industrial revolution, post-industrial revolution time period because of the agricultural revolution that came along with that. And so, it was a convergence, I guess, a remarkable thing.
So initially, do I have this straight? The bakery itself came out of your sort of growing desire. We love baking. This could be the thing.
Yeah.
And beyond that, the idea of encouraging other entrepreneurs was part of your first brainstorm?
It was probably secondary. We didn't really think that, we didn't even know if we'd survive a year, much less 2 years or now 7 years. That came about as people approached us and said, well, gee, you know, I have this idea, or I've been baking out of my house for friends and family and so forth, and they say I really have a good product, and I'd love to give it legs and get it out there. And so I've spent many, many hours encouraging, coaching, or questioning aspiring entrepreneurs, particularly during the economic downturn when people were looking to other potential avenues of income and employment and stimulation. And so we'd work to help them get licensed through the city, get through the process of what it is that licensing means, and some of the marketing and packaging issues as well. Some folks have had, you know, have just taken to that. Others have taken an approach a little bit more like ours and focused on farmers markets for vending their product. So yeah, that came about really as a secondary piece. We had no idea. Certainly the goal, I guess when I grew up, my house, my family's house was always the place where people converged. And so seeing this as a place where people feel welcome, where people can share ideas, share food, share their passions of whether it's entrepreneurial passions or you know, their favorite foods. That's really what it seemed like to us. I guess the other piece to it was holding as many community meetings over the years around community planning as I've held, an awful lot of time around businesses and economic development. Voices from the community said, why is it that I have to leave the neighborhood to go do something by myself or take the kids somewhere for food? I always have to leave unless I want, you know, to go to McDonald's or KFC. That's all that's here. Why can't we stay in our neighborhood to shop? And is a huge piece that, so to inspire others to take on buildings like this, and of course to create their own businesses. I would love it if more businesses, more bakeries. I wouldn't even mind if bakeries, donut shops opening across the street.
So you know the neighborhood well. You've been here a long time.
Yeah.
Is there a formula, if all of those forces were aligned, you know, the money where it needs to be, the political will, all of those things, is that what it takes, do you think, in your experience, or is that, how does the personality and the needs and the what the neighborhood comes into this with or through, how does that play into the whole success or personality of what you see evolving here?
Yeah. You know, I think that, I guess the organizer in me comes out to answer this, really listening and hearing what people are interested in doing, what the needs are that they feel in themselves, and their own, what they can bring to the table. I think that's a huge piece of it. We had a meeting here last winter, and it was a Hmong woman who wanted to start a daycare right down the street. And she flyered the neighborhood to see what the if there are any concerns, issues, to come here and hear her presentation and see what it is that they're planning on doing and see if there's going to be any adverse impact, any concerns. And the four families or so that showed up all wanted to work at the daycare. And so if anyone had, in the bigger realm of community development and so forth, seen the potential power in, say, a dozen primarily women and children, either from Kenya, generally from Somalia via Kenya, that now live here, that their primary needs, concerns, and life revolves around opportunity, and they've not felt it living here in Milwaukee. And to have an opportunity to create and be part of the community is what they're looking for.
Do you limit your scope in order not to just be completely swept into, I mean, how do you define
my gig? My scope has been limited geographically. You know, when I first drove down Lisbon, I thought, wow, what a stark place. But there's an allure to that starkness. And
you're talking about the empty lots. And the
empty lots and just, you know, it's as elementary as no, when I first moved here, really no lines on the street except for one center line. And so everyone drove everywhere. And so it's this. It was stark in many terms. You know what I love and continue to love about the neighborhood, loved about it at the time, and continue to love about it, is you know when you're appreciated, and you know when, I guess, when you're not. When you cross the line, perhaps. Right. And I guess to me, it's just it's just been a wonderful community to be part of. And to be able to be, part of either just having a long-term relationship with a tenant in my house who's lived there longer than I have, or having a relationship with families that I would otherwise have really no connection with, displaced from their homes in Laos and Cambodia and Thailand. And all of a sudden, there's this common theme. And I think that's sometimes missing when we look at census data, and what we see is poverty rates and single parent households and all this stuff, and that's all deficit instead of opportunity. I think we really miss the bigger picture of what is possible.
So when you throw out the term sustainability or environmentally conscious operation, mm-hmm. does that a part of your vocabulary and a way of doing business?
Sure. We have some of those fancy widgets like solar hot water. It's been running and pumping hot water into the building and creating a delta T of probably 50 degrees or 60 or 80 or whatever, you know, the right numbers are, for about 8 years or more. We walk to work because we live right up the street. Most of our employees either walk to work or live within 10 blocks or 12 blocks. No one's getting stuck on the freeway. No one's worrying about the long-haul commute in the wrong direction at the wrong time of day. So I guess to the extent that that part is very sustainable, I would agree. The building, we certainly didn't go for apply for LEED certification by any means. It's the same old, the same old door that's been on the building here since 1913, I think, when the building was built. However, we also didn't do a full demolition of everything and pile the old part of the building into the landfill. It's all pretty much still here.
Right. So sustainability is what you're about, really.
Right.
Creativity, sustainability.
Yeah. Right. Yes, I would say so.
David Boucher is co-owner of Amaranth Bakery at 34th in Lisbon, along with his wife, Stephanie. It will also be home to the Fruits of the Juice Kitchen, which we heard about earlier in the show. David Boucher spoke with WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz. Thanks so much for tuning in today, and I sure hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. We're NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh air is next. It's 11 o'clock.